Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, joined by producer Mike Hirst. We're coming to you from Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park, and this is our very first playoff edition of the Wobcast. Exciting times to be a Vikings fan, and it's only fitting that on our first playoff edition of the Wobcast, we welcome back the very first guest that we ever had on the Wobcast, and that is voice of the Vikings Radio Network and dear friend Paul Allen. Hey, PA.
Hello, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
This is an exciting time for us, you know.
Yeah, it was fun to watch one of the great turnarounds in the history of the Minnesota Vikings and the organization, from 3 wins to 10 wins. You know, to watch it go 4-1 after the 49ers win, and you know, to see some things in the middle of the season that kind of fell off, specifically the run defense and some uneven play from the quarterback situation in the passing game. And then to watch the team finish 4-1 in December, it's very professionally satisfying for a lot of people around here. And I generally feel good when everybody around me feels good, and there's a lot of happiness here at the facility.
So we make it back to the playoffs after going 10-6. We're a wild card. We're the sixth seed. We're going to play Green Bay. We'll get to that later. Mm-hmm. But first, this Vikings team, I mean, in recent memory, we've gone to the playoffs two other times. In 2008, we went as division winners. In 2009, we also went as division winners, but we were very different teams in both of those seasons. In 2009, we were an elite team with Brett Favre and the Rookie of the Year, Percy Harvin, and Adrian Peterson and Sidney Rice, and a defense that was stopping the run at historic levels, so we were elite. In 2008, we were a gritty, gutty, division-winning team that got there with 10 wins and suspect play at quarterback at times. We had kind of a revolving door at quarterback even.
Yeah.
Now, this 2012 team that makes the playoffs, what kind of team is this team?
That's an excellent way to look at it because, you know, I remember all the way back to when the Vikings went to the playoffs in 2004, and we went to Lambeau Field as an underdog and absolutely handed it to Green Bay. In a season where the team had lost 34-31 to Green Bay twice during the year, Ryan Longwell with a couple of walk-off winners, and the Vikings backed into the playoffs that year. So they all do have different identities. You know, I think the fact that the NFC North this year is so much better than it was in 2008, you know, I just can't credit Leslie Frazier, Rick Spielman, the players and the staff enough for doing what they did in this division this year. Again, it's coming off 3-13. With no division wins. And Green Bay was trying to sweep the division for a second consecutive year, becoming the first team since 67 to do that. So the win against Green Bay was absolutely fantastic. But to split with Green Bay, split with Chicago, and sweep Detroit,
yep,
that's quite the accomplishment. I mean, let's not forget Chicago was 7-1. Detroit was coming off a playoff appearance, and Green Bay is a perennial favorite to win the Super Bowl every year. So this version of the Vikings is different than 08 and 09. I'm not going to qualify which one is better and why, because I want to watch the games play out. You know, the 09 team on paper with Sidney Rice and Percy Harvin and Vasante Shenko with 11 touchdowns, and you know, defensively speaking, it was a little different. But that was a different team than this year, obviously. But that team had its struggles in December. Mm-hmm. This team doesn't.
Yeah, there
this
you go.
Team is finishing like a team that has a little fate and a little destiny on its side. And it's a very tightly knit group. I'm not going to say the 09 group wasn't, but the 2009 team stopped and started with Brett Favre. There are no Brett Favres on this team. Adrian Peterson is the marquee player, and he's the ultimate team guy, but he does not command the pop culture icon-like aura that Brett Favre does. Mm-hmm. So it's a very different group. They all have their own personalities, and this is a very special team.
I'm not going to say that you do, because you felt a lot better about the quarterback situation, to be frank, when you have a Hall of Famer playing the position, but you almost feel better about the momentum that you have this season, in that you win the last four games of your season to get into the playoffs.
Right.
You know, and the 2009 team was put together and built to win that season. Now, Rick Spielman and Leslie Frazier want to win every season. Every player wants to win every game. But I think going back to August, people would not describe the 2012 Vikings as a team built and put together to win in 2012. Yes, yeah. They wanted to win as many games as possible, and they had the goal of winning the division and making the playoffs. But in the global outlook, I mean, they were looking a couple of years down the road. So the fact that they're able to be here where they are right now, I think that just gives them extra momentum going into the playoffs.
Well, it's very unique what they're doing because, you know, to a man – 5 or 6 games ago, I don't think everybody in the building and certainly the public didn't trust the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like they wanted him flogged and then they wanted him kicked off the team. But there were reasons, and Christian Ponder, I think, would agree with this too because he has with me on my radio show, where there were reasons to look at the quarterback spot and have significant concerns that it was not holding up its end of the bargain and complementing an historically good running game.
Right.
And a defense that was really beginning to find stride, too, at Lambeau Field. Let's not forget, you know, Aaron Rodgers had a terrific game against us at Mall of America Field, and really the offense complemented the defense in that the defense at St. Louis and Houston and to a certain extent at home against the Bears kind of won the games for the Vikings outside of the running game. The offense had to win the game recently, and it did. But the fact that Christian Ponder is playing with an abundance of confidence, he's not getting down on himself when things don't work well, and he's not taking the types of chances that are putting the team in compromising positions, everybody's feeding off the quarterback now. You know, your quarterback is built to be your leader. So when he gets into the huddle, everybody looks at him like, okay, well, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And when you had Brett Favre, you knew exactly what was going to happen.
That was a cinch.
And for Christian, the fact that he hasn't turned the ball over in 3 games, he's able to get in the huddle and they know where the leadership is coming from. I can't be any happier for him because he really had some struggles during the middle of the season. You know, knowing him personally like I do, he took it really hard, professionally really hard. He really, really cares about winning. And he cares about what people within Winter Park think about him mm-hmm. because he realizes to whom much is given, much is expected. And Christian has responded like a pro. And he's our 2013 quarterback, in my opinion.
Right. Well, that's where I was going to go next. Where do we sit with Christian? In my view, it is, you know, he had his ups and downs, the ebbs and flows this season. Now, starting 4-1 and going into 5-2, really good. Finishing 4-0, really, really good. In the middle, yeah. Not so good.
Right.
Okay. Now, you expect that from a first-year quarterback. Some quarterbacks, Cam Newton, RG3, Andrew Luck, they come in, they're good from the start. Some quarterbacks aren't. And I think a lot of critics of Christian Ponder are sick of the comparisons. But, I mean, we have to look back at history to help guide us in how we evaluate quarterbacks. Eli Manning did not have a fast start. Drew Brees did not have a fast start. Those guys are fine now. So is this where we sit with Christian? All right. What we've seen so far is enough for us to be confident going into 2013 with him as our quarterback, but we have to protect ourselves against being wrong by going out and getting a veteran as the backup. Is that the situation?
That's a wonderful question. Obviously, the general manager would be better suited to answer it than me. Mm-hmm. I mean, from an opinion standpoint, I don't want to shortchange anybody on a roster that is full of cohesiveness and is very unified right now, but whether you draft somebody and try to hit on a Russell Wilson in the middle of the draft or you bring in some type of veteran, you know, I've always felt the veteran backup to a young quarterback is overrated. I don't think they work with the younger players as much as some other people think they do because I think when they're nearing the ends of their careers, they're in all-out survival mode,
mm-hmm.
and they still want to play. You know, the veteran quarterbacks still want to play late in their careers. Some may be delusional, but they all think they can still go for 350 and 3 every single game. I'm not going to say it's divisive, but I do think it's a little overrated. So whether it's Joe Webb, whether it's McLeod Bethel-Thompson, or whether it's quarterback du jour drafted or picked up, I think you head into 2013 knowing Christian Ponder is your starting quarterback.
Agreed.
And, in fact, I don't even think there needs to be a competition in camp. It's his job. Look what he's done the last 4 games and against whom he's done it. It's the Bears' defense. Granted, without Urlacher, but still plenty of Peanut Tillman and Lance Briggs. The Packers were giving up 13 points a game over the last 4 games and 19 on the year. The Texans' defense featured the best defensive player in the NFL in J.J. Watt and was on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Louis with Michael Brockers and Robert Quinn and Chris Long and James Laurinaitis, those nice corners. I mean, that was a very, very daunting task for Christian.
Yes.
To go on the road and win that game the way he did. In my estimation, he started okay. He came back to the pack, but then he finished full of fire at the most important time of the year. And I don't think the offense is constructed in a way where he can go out there and will be permitted to be put on a 7 for 25, 92 yards, 0 touchdown, 3 interception game. They just don't put him in that spot. And he doesn't put himself in spots anymore to do that. So I absolutely trust Christian. You know, fairness and conversation. I'm a fan of his. I really want to see him do well. I've come across a lot of different breeds of individual in my 11 years of calling Vikings games. And with guys like that, you don't meet them too frequently. Mm-hmm. And they're very easy to pull for. And the fact that Christian legitimately is good now is really satisfying to me.
Yeah, my honest opinion on it is at the beginning of the season, I was 100% behind him, and I couldn't wait to watch him play, and I was thrilled with the way he started. Then we went through that stretch of 6, 7, 8 games where I really started to question myself and really wanted to take a broader look at it. And now these last 4 games, to see him play the way he's played, I can't wait to see what we do in the offseason to continue building around him.
And but Christian was putting you in that spot. I mean, it's you being an elite football mind. You're not going out of your way like some people do, fans and or media members, to find flaws in him. He was putting it out right in front of you. Mm-hmm. The interception to Morgan Burnett early in the third quarter of the Green Bay game is completely unacceptable. You just can't do it when you're trying to win all your games and get to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The underthrow of Jarius Wright to Major Wright in the Bears game is completely unacceptable. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have interceptions, but interceptions of aggressiveness are different than being passive and looking like you're scared. And he had those moments in the middle of the season. But good for Christian that he recognized it, came out on my radio show or within other media outlets and said, that's on me. I blew it. I was a major reason we lost the Green Bay game. Not a lot of players act like that.
Right.
Christian owned it. He recognized he let players within the team down, and he got better. And I just have the ultimate respect for that.
Me too. And I can't wait to see us continue to build around him and go into next season with him as a starter. I mean, you know, I don't mind that our offense leans on Adrian as a crutch at times, because Adrian's going to be here next year. Yeah. I mean, he's going to be the same player or better next year. So I don't mind that we rely on him so much, and I can't wait to put a bow on the conversation about Christian. I can't wait to see what we do this offseason and to go with him into 2013 as a starter. Okay, so we play the Packers in the playoffs next week, Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
At Lambeau Field, we get to return to Lambeau Field, and we always enjoy going there. It's one of our favorite trips. Have we taken the Packers' best shot? Are we worried because of what happened to our defense that Green Bay is going to be even better at home? Is it going to be as high scoring as it was at Mall of America Field? Are we going to see 34-31 again at Lambeau? Is it going to be lower scoring because it's cold and now these teams know each other better? I mean, what? How are you going to frame it this week? Your radio show on KFAN 100.3 FM, 9 to noon. How are you going to talk about this game all week?
I think we took their best shot offensively. And for Packer fans to say the Vikings had more urgency than Green Bay, that's correct. Because it was win and in or lose and snooze for us. Mm-hmm. But anybody who knows anything about football or watch that game knows that from Mike McCarthy through Aaron Rodgers and that offense, you got their best shot. They wanted to knock you out of the playoffs, and they wanted that off week. Aaron Rodgers is absolutely terrific. And really, to be honest with you, in my 11 years of calling Vikings football, I've never seen a quarterback maneuver his way out of trouble in the pocket as well as Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
At Lambeau Field, it was absurd how good it was, and over the weekend it was too, but we did sack him 5 times. So is there more with Green Bay's offense given the venue? Maybe. Depends on how the weather comes out. Depends on if Antoine Winfield plays or not. They'll have Randall Cobb back. At first blush, people will think, okay, that's great. He had 80 receptions. He had 80 receptions because Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings missed a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to go to the cliched too many cooks in the proverbial kitchen, but Greg Jennings had a lot of success against us out of the slot at Mall of America Field. Now, if they're going to put him in the slot where Randall Cobb plays, that means they're going to go 4 wide. And if they go 4 wide, that means Jermichael Finley's out of the mix. If that's the case, okay. That also means that they're going to have fewer people to protect against a defensive line that I just watched absolutely savage Green Bay's offensive line.
Right.
So they have a lot of options, and their passing game's very stylistically sound, but the more people you have running the patterns, the fewer you have blocking. Everson Griffin, who's almost unblockable right now. Brian Robinson, when he's healthy, he had that huge strip sack. Kevin Williams has had a pass defensed, I think, in four consecutive games. And Jared Allen has a bunch of sacks at the end of the season. So I really like how our defensive line is playing. We're going to need to tackle better than we did in the game at Mall of America Field. See, that I mean, you watch all the games. Middle of the season, we started missing tackles, giving up a 165 a game running. And then it got better again. But then, I don't know if maybe they were nervous or too hyped or whatever, but we took bad angles and missed some tackles in the most recent Green Bay game. And that absolutely can't be the case in this game because they got that over-the-top play to Jordy Nelson. But generally speaking, they're not doing that as much, specifically against us, as they have in the past. They're relying on the 4 or 5 yard stuff turning into 15 to 20 because they make a guy miss. We can't miss. We just can't miss.
You know, and it's a night game, it's prime time, that whole thing, it's the playoffs. I mean, that was the biggest moment of Christian Ponder's career,
Yeah. And
he played his best game. That's how you want to evaluate quarterbacks in clutch situations. Now, this is going to be an entirely different animal. I mean, you go to Lambeau Field to play a playoff game in really your first season as a full-time starter. I mean, Christian Ponder is going to see and experience something entirely different. The good news is the Vikings are playing so much better right now than they were the first time they went into Lambeau Field.
Yep.
And so it's almost like you don't really even want to watch that first Packers game at Lambeau Field as a team for film study because you're playing entirely differently right now.
I don't think they'll go back that far because, I mean, familiarity breeds contempt, which means you're going to have some anger and some angst and some tumult within the trenches in this game because you just saw each other within a week. I don't think they need to go back that far, but I will say John Sullivan was on my Monday radio show from 9 until 9:35. And I said to him, you know what, it's a game of inches, man. You guys had a great chance to win the Packers game at Lambeau Field, and guess what, if you do, then it's you guys playing for the off week in the postseason, not Green Bay. And he strongly disagreed for two reasons. He said, first of all, if we win that game, who's to say that we would have won the next set of games like we did, because the emotions and the urgency could have been different. And he said, secondly, we learned a lot about ourselves in that game. And they did. And I can understand some of the facets of it. I was very impressed with the way the secondary played in that game against Aaron Rodgers. Chris Cook didn't play in that game. I think Chris is on a run of two good games now.
Yeah.
Leslie Frazier said he played well at Houston, and granted, Marcus Sherrills and A.J. Jefferson are not as good or physical as Chris Cook, but when Antoine Winfield went out, Aaron Rodgers never went to Chris Cook's side. I mean, absolutely never. I'm not trying to make him sound like Deion Sanders, but nevertheless, Chris represented very well. So now you're going to have Chris in this game in his third game off the layoff. You're going to have Marcus Sherrills potentially knowing what his responsibility is going to be as opposed to being thrown in against Aaron Rodgers in the middle of the game. It's going to be a daunting task. If they run the ball on us, we're going to be in trouble. But nevertheless, the fact that the Vikings showed they can run up all that offense and they can throw the ball and Ponder can go 8 of 11 on third down, a week after going 8 of 12 on third down at Houston, the quarterback's level of confidence right now is markedly higher than it was when they went to Lambeau Field. And I know Green Bay will have a no-tomorrow type urgency to it, but I also know what I saw Sunday afternoon at Mall of America Field. Green Bay absolutely brought it. Absolutely brought as good a game as it can bring. The question is, can it be better, and will we regress off what we did via winning in?
We'll find out on Saturday night. The Vikings, one of the hottest teams in the NFL, playing as well as they've played all season, playing as well as they've played since 2009, to be honest with you. Adrian Peterson, best running back in the NFL, going against a Green Bay Packers team that's mad because we just beat them and really is one of the best teams in the NFL at home. The game is going to be Saturday night. It's going to be at 7 o'clock Central. You can catch it on the Vikings radio network, where you, PA, will have the call with Pete Bursich and Greg Coleman. I think we're going to have a lot of fun there.
I'm curious to see how Green Bay, how seriously they're going to take us. The players, Mike McCarthy's an elite coach. But nevertheless, I just get a feeling every time I go to Lambeau or I deal with Green Bay media or people who work for the organization or the players, that they kind of think, oh, 3-win Vikings, oh, 6-win Vikings, oh, that was cute what you did in 2009 with Brett Favre, but you didn't close on it like we did in 2010.
Yeah.
We're playing really, really well right
yes.
now.
Yes, oh, yeah.
And the fact that the defense gave up as many yards as it did, and it was the offense that stepped up and out-dueled Aaron Rodgers. Christian Ponder did not win a shootout with Aaron Rodgers, but he sprinted with him, which is a major stride. A major step for the future of Minnesota Vikings football. And, you know, I hope they think that we're this crap 3-win team that's completely lucky to make the postseason.
Yes, please, overlook us, please.
Because beating the Bears and winning at a tough Jeff Fisher-led team, then killing the Texans and beating the Packers, that's quite the accomplishment, something about which this team is very proud.
Yep, and we're going to be proud to bring you coverage all week. So check out Vikings.com, Vikings Entertainment Network all week. We're going to film Vikings game plan and Vikings live from Winter Park later in the week. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can catch PA on the radio this week, 9 to noon, 100.3 FM. Friday Football Feast will be somewhere in the metro at a Buffalo Wild Wings. Another pack a week. It should be fun. And then on Friday, we're going to get on the plane, PA. We're going to play hangman like we always do. We're going to land somewhere in Appleton. We're going to find a hotel to stay at. We don't know yet where we're going to stay, but we'll find a spot. And then Saturday night, it's going to be magic.
Thank you. For me, in closing, this is my 11th year calling Vikings games. And you talked early in common thread-like fashion about the personality of teams. I've seen a lot of things develop within the Minnesota Vikings since I started in 2002, including the Vikings Entertainment Network.
Aww.
And it's an absolute treat to work with all of you guys. You guys are very professional. You're very good at what you do. And there are a lot of behind-the-scenes types who make the Vikings Entertainment Network go. And really, you know, I don't get to be in a position with Vikings game plan and Vikings live at Winter Park and even my radio show and calling games without the belief and the hard work of you guys behind the scenes here. So I just want to thank you guys for everything you do here at the VEN.
That was nice of you. Thanks, Paul.
No problem.
All righty, have a good week. That is it for us today. Thanks again for listening. To play us out, we leave you with a hit from Paul & Oates. Take it away. Yeah, well,